May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 491. Pleased we read in sacred story how our Lord resumed his breath. Where's, O grave, thy conquering glory? Where's thy sting, thou phantom death? Soon thy jaws, restrained from chewing, must disgorge their ransom prey. Man first gave thee power to ruin. Man too takes that power away. Hymn 491.
Thank you. We will read together from God's holy word, the Gospel according to John, the closing part of chapter 19 and the whole of chapter 20. The Gospel according to John, chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 38 and then read chapter 20. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and a napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us.
Let us sing hymn 488. Uprising from the darksome tomb, see the victorious Jesus come. The almighty prisoner quits the prison, and angels tell the Lord is risen. Hymn 488.
Thank you.
May the Lord teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for this meeting together on thy day. We do pray, dear Lord, that thou grant us a sense of thy gracious presence. And as we, in particular this day, seek to remember that glorious resurrection, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou would draw us to thyself, that we may be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that we each may feel our hearts touched and moved. We may feel the power of thy resurrection, that we each may know an interest in it, and that glorious resurrection. We think of that sin-atoning death, the putting away of the sins of thy beloved people, and that glorious seal of satisfaction from the Father in heaven, justice satisfied, the ransom paid, that the debts cleared, and that way made whereby sinners, thy sinful people, may be found in heaven at last. We pray that each one of us may know that persuasion of thy Holy Spirit, that thou, Lord, send thy Spirit forth with power this day, that a risen, exalted Saviour may be looked to by faith by each one of us, looking away from ourselves, our many failings and shortcomings, and looking to that finished work, a glorified, exalted Saviour, now sitting at the Father's right hand. We do pray, dear Lord, that thou bless us each, that we may know him, whom to know is life eternal, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, then do bless us, we pray, this season. Bless us indeed. We thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity. No small thing in such an evil day that we are able to meet in thy house and read thy word openly. We pray that thou would ever spare us these liberties. As we see the rise of the Antichrist, the power of sin and Satan, we see much, Lord, to cast down, much to distress. But may we look to thee. Lord, have mercy upon us. Save us each from that power of sin. Lord, be with any feeling the temptation and burden, feeling to be in the hands of the tempter, his waves and billows rolling over them. Lord, do come and save us from our sins. Leave us not to perish at last, but remember us each for good. Remember me with a favour that thou bearest to thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. Then may this be a time of one of those visits from thee. Oh, do come and stand in our midst. Say, peace be unto you. May we not be found doubting, but may we have that faith to believe in the Son of God. Oh, Lord, may we be found casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you, to cast our never-dying souls into his hand, with a who can tell, that venture of faith, as sinners taught and feeling a need of salvation, nowhere to turn, no hope in self, yet by thy Spirit led to the Lord Jesus Christ. May that Spirit come and lead us each to to a precious Christ this day. May a risen Saviour be exalted. May Christ be lifted up. And may sinners look and live. We pray for thy gracious help. Lord, we cannot speak, we cannot hear, unless thou art with us. Oh, then may thy word go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May the strongholds of sin and Satan be pulled down. May grace triumphant reign in each heart. May there be that enabling grace felt, that love of Christ constraining. And may our hearts be burning within us as we leave thy house this day. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, we confess we're sinners. Oh, and we, some of us, Lord, feel to be the vilest, the basest. Oh, we pray for mercy. Oh, that thou wilt remember our sins no more, that they may be cast behind thy back. Blot them out as a thick cloud, our many transgressions. Oh, may there be a return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. For thou knowest the way to bring us back, our fallen spirits to restore. Oh, then do, Lord, have mercy upon us. Bring back thy wandering sheep. Oh, do call out from nature's darkness into thy marvellous light, those lost sheep of thy fold. Oh Lord, do go forth and search them out this day. May thy word search them out. May there be a bringing forth and a testifying of that power, of thy Holy Spirit. So Lord, we pray for thy mercy. We thank thee for every blessing and every mercy that thou dost surround us with day by day. We would remember the dear brother in affliction this day. We thank thee, Lord, for the measure of restoration, but we do pray that thou continue to lay thy healing hand upon him and bring him back amongst the friends here, we pray, soon if it could please thee. This day, Lord, as he is away from this place, we pray that thou wilt be with him. Be with each who would be here but cannot. Oh, we pray, Lord, for thou art not bound by walls, but thou wilt go right where they are, as that good Samaritan, and have compassion upon them, and be very present with them. And so, Lord, we pray for thy blessing. We pray for thy help. We plead for thy mercy. We pray for the young and rising generation. The children, Lord, we thank thee for them. We pray that thou wilt help them growing up in this evil world. There are many attractions and Satan has many things, Lord, to seek to draw them away. But thou canst keep them. We pray thy spirit may influence them. Grant them and keep them with a tender conscience before thee. Put thy fear in their hearts. May they not depart from thee all the days of their lives. Be with any with decisions. Difficult things, maybe hard things. Those seeking direction. Those seeking to know thy will. Maybe mountains before them, crooked places, rough places. Oh Lord, we pray thy word may be suited to meet each case. And we pray that there may be those hearts comforted. There may be those downcast souls lifted up. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt do us each good. Oh, we do pray for thy gracious blessing. Do open thy kind hand this day. Do open the windows of heaven. Pour out thy blessing upon us, both here and in all the assemblies of thy dear people. Thy people, some unable to meet together. some in persecution, some in suffering. Wherever thy people are, Lord, be with them, we pray. And may the worship of thee this day ascend as that sweet smelling savour. Oh, may he see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And so, Lord, do help us in our worship, for there is sin mixed with all we do. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, but Lord, thou canst give us a heart to praise thee and to worship thee. Oh, thou canst teach us to love thy person most sweet. Then do come and do all for us, for thou knowest our infirmities. We are but poor, weak, sinful flesh. Remember us, Lord, we pray, and may we be delivered from the power of sin and Satan for a season. May we be wholly taken up with thee. May we see no man save Jesus only. So do pardon and forgive all that we ask amiss. Pardon our many failings and sins. Remember us as a country in this evil day. Remember us as churches. O Lord, we plead for thy return. Oh, we do thank thee. We've heard of thy Spirit working in our little denomination recently. Oh, but how we need thy gracious presence. For Lord, we have many things to cast down also. But oh, we plead that thou wilt be with us each. We plead that thou wilt remember thy people still. We plead, return, O holy dove, return. May there be an outpouring of thy Spirit. May there be that revival in our day. Build us up in our most holy faith. Build up this cause of truth here. Glorify thy great and holy name. We ask, Lord Jesus, for pardon of every sin. Take away all our iniquities. Receive us graciously. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 116. Most of us cannot sing this hymn with full assurance, but may we be enabled to sing in hope and with the prayer, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, the power of love divine, who its heights and depths can tell? Tell Jehovah's grand design to redeem our souls from hell. Hymn 116.
you turn with me to the chapter we read, Gospel according to John, chapter 19. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verses 38 and 39. Gospel according to John, chapter 19, verses 38 and 39. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Have you ever read this account of our suffering Saviour, and oh, what love has filled your heart as you read of these two gracious characters? Your heart, has it been moved in affection toward them? They came, but What an opening word this is, isn't it, in verse 38. And after this, after what had taken place? Oh, the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As we, this season, we in particular seek to remember the cost of sin. Oh, may we be drawn as these two were to see a suffering Saviour. You know, we've just sung that hymn. Two characters here who could have sung that hymn, isn't there, this morning? Oh, their hearts touched by love divine. Their hearts, oh, how they could sing it, that hymn, from the heart, with the understanding. These two, you know, of all the characters we read of surrounding our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, as we read of those disciples, and the night in which he was betrayed, when he brought in that beautiful ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we read that there was bickering amongst themselves, who should be the greatest. And then we read of Judas, before that the Lord's Supper, at the close of the Passover, he goes out with that intent to betray his Lord and Master. What a scene we see. A sad scene, isn't it? A sad scene. And Peter, with such strong feeling, he thought, and devotion, he said, I will die with thee. And yet, as our Lord Jesus enters that garden, we find John and Peter, they're both taken up with sleep, aren't they? Can you not watch with me 1 hour? Peter, you said you'll die with me. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? As all the horrors of hell are poured upon his soul, the suffering, the reproach, the turning away of his father's face. You know, we at times that if we're numbered amongst the Lord's dear children, oh, we feel at times our hearts lifted up, but at times when our sins they rise up from us like that cloud, and they steal away the presence of the of God, that they rob us of His sense of His presence with us. How much greater as our Lord and Saviour grappled in that garden, experiencing that separation. So it's a mystery there, isn't it? There is a veil drawn over Gethsemane. Oh, but the horrors of it. The horrors of an eternity of punishment laid upon Him. The anger, the wrath, and sin does like itself appear. You want to see the power of sin, the horror of sin. Do you want to see God's anger at sin, His wrath? Venture to Gethsemane. We must remember, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And yet, the Father, turning away His face, and I'm persuaded it wasn't just there, but in the judgment hall, and at Calvary, and to the very moment he commended His soul into the hands of His heavenly Father. For He cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Oh, the mystery of it, the horrors of it. Oh, may we be drawn there to Calvary. Oh, you know, it's that, isn't it? Dying love. Dying love. What moved these two who were so fearful? They had the love of Christ in their hearts, but they feared fellow man. And you know, we must, when we are not in any way casting stones this morning. For who amongst us here this morning can truly say they've never felt the fear of man? You know, there are some very real fears that surround the Lord's dear children. And there are very real fears that hinder and hold them back from making mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And these two men, eminent men, we read that Nicodemus, he was high up, wasn't he? He was a great man, a Pharisee. And he came to Jesus by night. And Joseph of Arimathea, a Sanhedrin on the council, a just man, an upright man. But he too, he was a disciple, we read, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. Oh, you're not this morning sitting in judgment, are you? You see, they were brought out, weren't they? They were found out. They couldn't hold back. No, they must come forward. I thought of a heading for these two this morning, and it's this: the love of Christ constraineth us. If they were standing here this morning, we were to ask them, what moved you? The love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, the power in that sin-atoning death. Dying love. And we trace it, don't we, through into Mary's heart that drew her to that sepulchre, and those other women with her. They beheld where Jesus was laid and how He was laid. They went home and they prepared those spices. They rested the Sabbath day, and very early in the morning, dying love. Oh, these disciples had fled, had forsook him. But these two, after this, looking on their dear dying Saviour and seeing his, hearing him cry out, "It is finished," as he gave up the ghost, they watching on, moved with that, that love, overflowing in their hearts, sympathy. They shall look on him whom they pierced. And I believe in measure every child of God will be brought there to view him. Well, you may not have that full in-depth vision. You may not be brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus and view him and hear him say, "This was done for you." But you'll be brought there by faith. You'll be brought there in need, in necessity, to his feet. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You'll be brought, you must be brought, if you're numbered amongst his dear children, to plead his blood, his righteousness. To plead with him that your name was on his heart when he suffered and bled and died. For we must, if we're to have an interest in his glorious resurrection, have an interest in his death. Oh, to be bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. Oh, we must have an interest in his birth. Our names must be on his heart then, as he left heaven to come to earth. Oh, with that work to do, and to be bound up in it, to feel that persuasion in our hearts that this was done for you. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. You see, he couldn't bear to see his Lord and Master hanging on that cursed tree more than was necessary. He couldn't bear the thought that his body, his lifeless body, should be cast away into a common grave amongst those criminals. It broke his heart. It's dying love that breaks a heart. It's dying love that moves a soul to toward him. It's dying love that attracts. It's that irresistible drawing. The power of the cross of Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Why? There's power in the cross of Christ. A lifted up Saviour. If I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. That drawing power. Because it's there, beloved friends, that a sinner finds his peace and his rest, the putting away of his sin. Oh, what a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, if the Lord gives you a full glimpse of him in your place, in your room and in your stead, oh, how your heart will move to him. Oh, when you feel that, oh, that peace that flows. It is a scene of horror and of suffering and of affliction. Oh, but for the repentant, trembling sinner who looks in venture, looks in hope, seeks for mercy, oh, it's a scene of peace. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made. It's that great Passover. Passed over. It's the very transaction of it. The Lord passing over his people. The Lord, he says, pass by them and punish me. And here is the fulfillment of it. That the just for the unjust. He who is perfect, holy, harmless, separate from sinners, that the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the punishment, the wrath, the anger, the debt, the cost paid, redemption. It's that working of redemption. It's that paying of price. And justice was satisfied. And from this very moment, we see the Father accepting that offering. The dear Lord Jesus cried out, it is finished. And the care over his beloved Son. There's these two. Oh, they're stirred up in their affection. Love is reigning, grace is reigning in their hearts, and they're constrained by love to deal in such a loving way with that lifeless body. Oh, the care and concern, they and Joseph of Arimathea, he besought Pilate. He pleaded with him. He went in boldly to him. Not ashamed anymore, but willing to suffer with him. The cross of Christ, not offensive to him, but powerful in his heart. He wasn't offended by him. He was drawn to the Saviour. And there, he nails his colours to the mast, doesn't he? He steps forward. And Joseph, this man, this wealthy man, this man of influence, the fear has gone. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Why? Oh, I've seen my dear Redeemer, the dying Lamb, suffering in my place. Oh, how can my heart not be moved? How can I fear? What is this life? Oh, I've seen the putting away of my sin. I've seen that putting away, the blotting out of every sin. I've seen my sins washed away in that precious blood of Christ. He cried, it is finished. And those words sounded into my heart. It's finished. Oh, Joseph, it's finished for you. Oh, those words. And why? Oh, how he outwardly shows. There's that outward profession. He takes the name of the Lord Jesus on his lips and goes forth to Pilate, and he pleads, he begs for that body. He besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. You say, oh, that I may be found with that enabling grace in my heart. How many here this morning? How many in our churches are there? These secret disciples. You know in your heart of hearts, that the Lord has touched your heart. You do find him attractive. He is precious, but oh, you say, oh that I could put away these fears. Oh, that these fears may be removed. These hindrances. What is it, fellow man? Fellow man, you say, but how can I come? How can I beg the body of the Lord Jesus? How can I stand in front of the church of God and tell my little tale of how the Lord has been gracious to me? How can I? That this family, There's friends, there's those I've grown up with. There's the real fear of man. And there are some real fears, aren't they? Oh, but may this remove it. May you be found looking on him whom you have pierced. That will do the deed, won't it? And mourn for him. Oh, may you, by faith, be drawn to Calvary and there to see your dear suffering Saviour, suffering for you, dying love. Oh, the power of his, of the cross. May the power of his resurrection. It's that, isn't it, also? The power of the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, but that power of his resurrection. That full seal of the Father's satisfaction. You know, the Lord Jesus, he laid down his life for his friends. He cast his soul into the hands of his Father. And his Father raised him again, satisfied. The Son, he said, it is finished. And the Father said, amen, and raised him from the dead. And we remember that this morning, that the glorious resurrection. We remember the death, the suffering, the agony. Oh, but that cry, it is finished. And now we trace out the Father's approval, the care of that body, the laying down in that tomb, the care they devoted to him, didn't they? You know, it's all ordered, wasn't it? Joseph's garden, close by to that cross. Joseph having prepared a sepulchre within it. And there, moved with love, oh, he opens his heart and he opens that tomb and he wraps that body with Nicodemus. And no doubt some of their servants. And they lovingly and tenderly deal with their Lord and Master's body. Oh, and there's love in it. What a scene of love it is. This adoration. Their hearts are overflowing. They can't keep silent. They can't hold back any longer. Nicodemus, who came by night for fear of the Jews, he can't hold back. He must come forward. And there he too joins Joseph in this labour of love, in this service. Oh, what a scene we have. And those women also. These favoured ones, aren't they? You know, they're greatly favoured. Greatly favoured. We think of Mary. She was the first, wasn't she, to see the risen, exalted Saviour. Oh, what a privilege bestowed upon her. And how her heart was moved with love. Oh, that dying love. Dying love her heart attracted. Soon she felt its rising power. He whom Mary thus affected bids his mourners weep no more. Oh, weep no more over your sins. Oh, look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Oh, is there a few of you here this morning? Oh, and by faith you long to be one of these who took his body. You know, my heart often look at these scenes and you see the various characters around. Oh, how solemn sometimes we feel to be among those who pass by wagging their heads, don't we? You know, which of these characters would we have been? One of those reviling on him, one of those wagging their heads, one of those crying out, away with him, away with him. Oh, but you say, oh, but that was then, this is now. Oh, I long to be one of those who, sitting down, watched him there. I fear I might have been one of those who fled and forsook him, put to the test, my faith so weak. Is my love weak? You say, ah, I think I might have been one of those that like the sheep are scattered, I would flee and leave him. But at times, you say, I long to be one of these who sat and watched him. Oh, and in tears, mingling with his, in sympathy, with a felt sense of my sins, that I've pierced him, I've caused him this grief. It's my sins, it's my debt. Oh, but that then taking down that lifeless body, removing those hands from those nails, oh, that broken, battered and bruised body, oh, that crown of thorns removed, and oh, to wrap him in that linen cloth, and to anoint his body with these spices. Oh, you say, I long to pour out my love to him. I long to pour it out, to do this, oh, this work of love. At times, you say, I long to be there, to adorn his body, to wrap it and to anoint it, to care for him, oh, as he cared much for his sheep. You see, we look back, don't we, by faith, and we see the necessity of his death and sufferings, and we're taught, we understand, we see that the rising the third day, and the glorious resurrection, and the ascension into heaven, but these were what were living it out. And we're told quite clearly that they were under a cloud. Though the Lord had often told them that these things must be, that he must needs suffer, yet these things were not clear to them. And it's a solemn point, isn't it, this morning? If you read Luke's Gospel, there we read that they thought those that heard of his resurrection, and they heard Mary's confession and testimony of seeing him risen, their words seemed as idle tales. But him they saw not. But him they saw not. Oh, you say, let not this season pass me by. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is it nothing? You say, oh Lord, may it be something to me. May not I be one of those that dismiss these things as idle tales. May not I be one of these that pass by, reviling and wagging their heads. Oh, may I be one that sees thee by faith and believes, and can shelter there, and to rest there, and to seek my everlasting all there. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Well, it was something, wasn't it, to these two? And it was something to Mary and those other women. It was something. It had an everlasting effect on them. It had an immediate effect on them. Oh, those that were present, as the Lord drew them to himself, that dying love, that hope, that love to him, it had an immediate effect. An immediate effect on Joseph. It had an immediate effect on Nicodemus, and it did on those women. For they went off to prepare those spices, and these, oh, they went and administered those things for his burial. Oh, may we know this effect in our hearts, this stirring up of our hearts. Oh, that the love of Christ, as displayed at Calvary, may stir up our affections. Oh, that he would give us that zeal, that boldness. Oh, that life, a movement toward him, in love, not fearing what man will do, but looking to him, seeking to make his honour and glory known, putting the crown, not the crown of thorns, but that crown of gold on his head, crowning him with glory and honour. The Jews look at the Passover, they look upon a lamb. Oh, may it be for us, but we see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. And what a great abundance of spices he brought with him. 100 pound weight. Someone said it's enough to bury 100 people. Oh, but the love flowing. Oh, it's never too much, is it, to a heart that's moved with love? Oh, the heart is moved. What can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Is that your language this morning? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, to take his name upon your lips, to openly confess him, to make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And there came also Nicodemus, this timid one, this fearful one, coming up to the Lord Jesus by night. Well, isn't it at the beginning of a work of grace? A poor trembling sinner, he comes secretly. There's no outward display. There's that secret working in the heart. It's that personal working, isn't it? And it's a very personal thing. But oh, to be brought to that point when the love of Christ is overflowing. Oh, what constrained you, some of you who have been enabled to come and tell? What moved you? The love of Christ constraineth. It wasn't your own heart. You were made willing. You had to come. You couldn't hold back. Satan, I'm sure he's telling you at times, well, you shouldn't have come. You're presumptuous. You shouldn't have mentioned. Look at you. Surely you should have a heart that's free from sin. Surely you shouldn't feel the temptations and the buffets of Satan that you do. Surely these are evidences that you shouldn't come. Oh, but you say, no, dying love, my heart attracted. Oh, I was a dying sinner in a body of sin, in a dying world with eternity before me. And by the grace of God, I was brought and looked to Christ. Oh, there's a sweet attraction in that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. And that word, all, it picked me up and it drew me to him. my everlasting all. Oh, that one sacrifice for sin forever. Oh, I had to plead it. That's what brought me. Satan, that's what brought me. No pride, no presumption. Oh, but as a sinner, he drew me out. I tried to keep silent. I tried to be an outer court worshipper. But oh, he would bring me out. He would have all the honour and glory. And oh, when that love of Christ was overflowing, then his commandments were not grievous. Then the hindrances were removed. Then the doubts were removed. The fear of man, fear of my brethren, the fear of my family, the very real fears that some experience, public prayer, they all vanished. They all vanished. That there was that coming forth for the honour and glory of God. Oh, these two men couldn't hold back. This meant something to them. He meant something to them. That word, "it is finished," meant something to them. They couldn't hold back. Oh, it was Jesus in the sinner's place. Jesus, my all, to heaven has gone. He couldn't hold back. That they couldn't hide their love any longer. That they must come forth. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. What a great blessing he received, didn't he? What do I mean? Well, he ventured to the Lord by night. And the Lord taught him the necessity, ye must be born again. And we have that beautiful discourse, and how the Lord Jesus spoke to him of the necessity that the Son of Man must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There must be that lifting up. Oh, and those words coming back to Nicodemus that night, as there the Lord and Master's lifted up. Oh, think of that language. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. And we think of the resurrection, don't we? This glorious resurrection. That seal that the Father was well pleased with that sacrifice, that every sin of the Church of God was put away. He raised him by his power. An outward mark and sign and seal that justice was satisfied. Oh, beloved friends, what a mercy for you and I have a sweet, even a little hope this morning, but a hope in him that he died for us. What an overwhelming blessing this is. Oh, to see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Because I live, ye shall live also. Your sins put away, and your life, eternal life, he rose from the dead. Bringing with him. Every child of God from Adam to the end of time, every trembler, every poor outer court worshipper, every child of God rising with him from the grave to reign in heaven above. And he's entered in and he sits at the Father's right hand. What a glorious entrance. Lift up your gates, your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Oh, that glorious entrance into heaven, that the triumphant conqueror conquered sin and death, conquered Satan, enters into heaven. And what an entrance for every child of God who go to join him in glory at last. Oh, he's gone on before, but certainly they will follow. Oh, they cannot be left behind. Not a hoof will be left behind, but every one of them found in glory at last. He's sitting. The work is finished. The work is done. And he makes intercession. Oh, then may we go boldly to him with our real fears. Lord, oh, give me a heart that's free from fear, a heart that seeks to give thee the honour and glory, a heart, a submission, that I may crucify my life with thine. I may die to my past life and rise again seek to put the crown and the honour and the praise and the glory upon thy head. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate. Well, we think, don't we, of the reason. They felt, oh, that great fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. How many of the Lord's poor, trembling, secret disciples, they fear to be put into the church? Oh, may that same power that Joseph and Nicodemus felt, the power of the cross of Christ, the power of his resurrection, oh, may we each feel it and prove it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parish will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. And he will also, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives, triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. Hymn 751.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.